Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We want to welcome all the other campuses of Springs Church. Great to have you guys with us. Now, we're going to talk about some stuff today that might be a little weird to some of you. But how many know God's Word is powerful? It's truth. The Bible's been under attack by the best brains for centuries, and they have not been able to take this thing on and make it disappear. And today, I remember for years I did a show called The Leon Show, where we interview people from around the world, and I interviewed some of the most intelligent, brilliant minds in different sciences around this planet, and who completely laughed at evolution and knew that God was real and embraced the Bible as a stunning, amazing book. So many minds have done that. And I just think that the Bible is it's the way to look at your life and to get it into order. Because today I'm going to talk about the spirit world. I'm going to actually talk about stopping demonic influence, period. Stopping demonic influence. A lot of people they laugh at things like little red demons and red underwear and a pitchfork and a couple little horns. And, oh, you believe in the devil. But what do you believe in? You know, people just believe that, well, there's a bad side to our consciousness and there's a good side to our consciousness. And in the middle, we have to make decisions and we are God. And it's not working too well for the planet. Okay, as never before, you ought to see the stats on mood disorders, stress, mental illness, exploding off the charts. And so I'm going to dive into God's Word. I believe God's Word. I love God's Word. If there's one thing you haven't noticed, if you've been coming for a while, is how passionately I love the Word. I study the Word. I like connecting the dots. I like looking at it in all these different ways and then presenting it and going, look how rich this is, because God's Word is incredible. It teaches us that right now, while we're sitting in this building, there is a world, a spirit world. And that spirit world is very much alive. And it's raging. And what is going on is not good. It's a war. There's a war going on. I want to read you a crazy portion of scripture. And write it down. I encourage you to write it down and make sure and check out everything I say. You should never just listen to any preacher or any teacher of the word and go, okay. You should write it down, check it out, and make sure that you're thinking for yourself. You know, the world is, it's just rare to find people who think for themselves. Instead of just saying, well, okay, I like that, I'll deal with it. No, check it out in the Word. But listen to this. Revelations 12:7. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a voice, a loud voice, saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. This word wrath, when you look it up in the Greek, is interesting. It literally means breathing hard, fierce, boiling over. He's not this cute little guy in red underwear and a pitchfork. This is a fallen angel, one of the archangels. There were three archangels, the Bible says, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Michael is in charge of the warring angels. Gabriel was in charge of the messenger angels. And Lucifer was in charge of what many people think might have been the earth and other areas. Some people think he was in charge of worship and praise, and that's been the common belief, and I don't really see that in the Word like they do. But anyway, he was one of the archangels. Now, it says here that he's fierce, boiling over, angry, wrathful, and he's down here, and he's mad. And so to think that they're all just sitting somewhere in the Bahamas, all the fallen angels, which we call demons, just taking a break, is not true. There's a war going on. And the Bible teaches us that we wrestle, not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle in Ephesians chapter 6 with principalities and powers. We wrestle with these dark. So in the spirit world, there is a war going on. Now, the enemy, I've taught you multiple times if you've been coming here now, that I'm not worried about the devil. Once you understand his process, that Jesus defeated him on the cross, that he has no authority, that once you know how to stop him, and I'm going to show you how, that he's finished, okay? But this is a constant thing. You're never going to be left alone. Oh, no. Really? Yeah, but once you understand that the difference is that every dart he fires at your head either hits the shield of faith and quenches it, or if you don't have your beliefs where they should be, which is the shield of faith, then it goes straight into your head, and it creates emotion, and it creates problems, and it creates thinking, and it creates beliefs. And he'll wait for a situation and fire a thought in that situation. He doesn't like you. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. You don't fit in here. He is firing thoughts. He seems to have this ability to fire a thought into the mind. And even when you look into the original with many of the messages I'm going to cover, it talks about this wrestling is not a physical wrestling. We don't wrestle with demons physically. We don't even wrestle with them spiritually, because in the spirit world, Jesus is Lord and he fills your spirit. But he has this, the Bible says, lying signs and wonders to mess with your head. So he'll tempt you. He'll tempt you to think certain ways, act certain ways. And as you begin to read the word, it begins to clothe you, your mind, with beliefs that are amazing. So it's either one of two things. If your beliefs are accurate in the Word of God, then you are believing truth. John 8:32 says, when you know the truth will set you free. So the truth about things creates a shield. And Paul is using very picturesque language. If I have a shield right now that covers my entire body, let's say it's a 6'2" shield that I'm holding, okay, and all of a sudden in comes all these fiery darts, and just bam, 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 bam. It just hits the shield. Not a big deal. But if I don't have the shield, and every dart has a feeling attached to it, has a strong belief. And by the way, Satan is crazy, but he's smart. He's been tempting the human race for thousands of years. So he'll wait until a little problem in your marriage, and then bam, she's got somebody else. Bam, it's drifting away. Bam, you're going to lose your marriage. Bam, this person, like, he knows how to tempt you into thinking, into worry, into stress, into concern. And the Bible says this is a double-mindedness, that there's no peace in people's lives. It's every day. This thing is, and it's just hitting you. Oh, another one. Oh, and all these thoughts. And people are overwhelmed with the doubts, overwhelmed with suspicions, overwhelmed with fears, overwhelmed with distrust, overwhelmed with interpreting every situation wrong. Have you ever met somebody that interprets every situation wrong? That is because of their heart and the beliefs of their heart. And the enemy is after the minds of people. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And those strongholds are thoughts, imaginations, theories, and reasonings. It's all in the thinking world. He's after your thinking. He will harass you, and that harassment will work until you get the Word of God and the beliefs in place. And when you are, it's like, whew. And I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about quickly, literally one service, you go, wow, just hearing this message is going to set some of you free, because some of you have been thinking, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. My brain goes in every direction. It's like I can't focus it and keep something going. And my mind's going boop, boop, boop. And it's like fear. One minute I'm confident, the next minute I'm worried. One minute I like them, the next minute I hate them. One minute, and you can blame it on hormones, you can blame it on a whole lot of stuff, and there's a point to some of that. But a mind that is renewed in the Word of God is what it takes, the Bible says, to be able to walk out the perfect will of God. Your mind should be at peace. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. And if you're not at peace, then somewhere there is something you must learn, you must grow in God's word. And Holy Spirit's job is to teach you that. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom can he devour." So the devil doesn't just walk into anyone's life. "Oh, I'm going to pick you." He can't just destroy someone's life. He's looking for something. What's he looking for? He's looking for someone where, you know, in the book of Proverbs, as you study some of these Proverbs, it talks about the mind being the walls of your spirit. So what does that mean? It means that your mind decides what you focus on and what gets into your heart. So it says, don't look at this, don't do this, don't be bitter, don't be resentful, don't do any of these things. And the Bible shows you how to rise up and shut down the enemy. So the authority that of how to run your life is with you. Here's how most Christians act. "God, I need your help." And it's praying, bugging, pleading, crying, weeping. "God, why don't you help?" And God's already done everything he's going to do. He's given you his word. He's given you his spirit. He's given you incredible things. Now you speak to mountains. Now you put the armor on that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about. But let me pick on one thing in today's service. And I covered different stuff in the first service. So if this is something God's speaking to you about, get the first service as well after. But let's go down to this verse I want to talk about. James chapter 3, verses 14 and 16. What is the enemy looking for when he's walking around like a roaring lion, looking, seeking for somebody he can devour? Well, the Bible then says, resist him and he'll flee. So that means we've got the authority, we've got the power to resist the devil and make him go. But what if you don't resist him? He doesn't go. Welcome to one hell of a mess. One hell of a messed up emotional life, thinking life, relational life, business life, physical life. And so we must learn how to shut him down. We must learn how to resist him. And Christians think, well, just you pray. No, I tried that. If your beliefs are all screwed up, pray all you want. It's the entrance of his word that brings light. It's John 8:32, you'll know truth and truth will make you free. Ephesians 10, verse 18 and on, where it talks in there about the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart. Before that thinking can get to your head and mess with you, it stops at the shield of faith. The beliefs that you have incorporated into your life are so powerful that bam, the flames just go out and it just falls to the ground. This is what Jesus has prepared for you and I. But most people don't even know the word of God. They don't even know what the gospel is. I ask them, what's the gospel? They'll say, oh, that's good news. Okay, well, what is the good news? Well, Jesus died for me, I can go to heaven. That's like an important piece of it, but there's a massive other piece to the word gospel. What is the good news? What happened from the cross to the throne? What are your rights and privileges? How much authority do you have? How much authority does the devil have? How much authority does God have? How much authority do you have? And by the way, neither God nor the devil have any authority in your life. Shocking when you hear preachers go, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the itty bitty babies in his hands. 30 million died last year. He's got the itty bitty babies. He's got you and me, brother. But one out of every three is going to die of this disease. God's in control. Are you kidding me?
Oh, pastor, this is like...
Now, you are a free will being. You are made in the likeness and in the image of God. God has free will. He does what he wants with himself. You have been given free will, which puts you in the God class. You are not God. But that, you're not, you know, cats have kitties, dogs have puppies, horses have colts, cows have calves. You are children of God. That shows the incredible free will that we have. And so even God, who has given his word to you, won't violate your free will. You're welcome to go do whatever you want with your life, but there are consequences to everything that you do, okay? And if you give your life to Jesus Christ and you live like hell, God's not going to get you, going to get you, going to get you, going to get you. But Satan will. That's where the Bible says, don't give him any room. Don't give him any opportunity. Don't give him the ability to walk into your life. Here's one area that I'm going to cover in the short time I have left. I was talking to somebody in the first service. You know, I wished I had two-hour teaching moments. Okay, I know nobody would be here, but because our attention spans are so short. But I would relish the day where you could take about 2 hours and get keen people into a room and say, we're going to unpack one thing. And if, when you walk out of this room, you will know it, you'll be equipped with it, and you'll walk in it. I'd love that day. Anyway, maybe, okay. But we'll take the 25, 30 minutes we got. And then you go and keep studying when you get home. James 3, 14 and 16. If you have bitter jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not pride yourselves on it and thus be in defiance of and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, animal, even devilish, demonical. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. Let's talk about this. One of the most important reasons of giving your life to Christ is not that he is just Savior. He has saved you. You got fire insurance. Heaven's your home. That's wonderful. But the Bible says besides being your Savior, he needs to be your Lord. When he's your Lord, you submit your life, your thinking, your acting. You see, when you do something, you are manifesting your will. When you act something out, whatever you are doing, you are exerting your authority. And so we can't tell what you believe by looking at you. You all look real good. But if we could walk back and track your decisions, what you do, etc., we can see the directions that you're going. And so it's crucial for us to have a great knowledge of God's word and to study it. So here it is very clearly saying, and I'm going to go to the last part where it says, when it comes to selfish ambition, now our world is set up this way. If I'm going to run like a typical business where I run a company and I'm in charge of the sales guys and girls, so I get them all together, I want them competing with each other. I want them stepping on each other's fingers. If I don't understand the word, I want driven personality types that'll be night and day, go make me money, make me look good as a department head, and I'll work them against each other. I'll give this guy a medal and give him a bonus, let everybody see it. I'm going to give this guy a bonus. He outsold you all. I'm going to embarrass you. They use rivalry, disharmony. They use this thing in the world. And the enemy uses it. But we as believers have got to remove this from our marriages, our churches, even from our businesses. We don't need to stomp on every finger on the way up the ladder. We don't need to stab everybody in the back to get ahead. Jesus taught us that it's the end does not justify the means. But the means is more important than the end. How do you live out each day? With God, serving God, loving God. Some of you might thinking, let's pick on marriage for a minute, that you know, well, I'm telling you, I'm glad my spouse loves me because I'm telling you, I have some pretty bad days and I give them a piece of my unrenewed mind and they can get pretty colorful and I take it out on them, but I'm sure glad they love me. Listen to me. That's not biblical. The person you love the most is the person you just treat the crappiest. The person that has vowed to live with you for the rest of their lives. It can be the person that you can just, oh, I can relax around them. No, you're not relaxing. You're going to your selfish side. The Bible is saying here that where there is disharmony, well, I don't really get along. I understand that. But where there's disharmony, You've got rebellion and all sorts of evil. The word evil goes to the dark. That's demonic. Satan gets involved with the words you speak. Satan gets involved with how you treat people. Satan gets involved with, well, I gave him a piece of my mind, and I'm telling you right. No. Be cautious. Your words are so powerful that by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. That's not talking about the judgment at the end of the age. It's talking about life right now. The words that you speak, they plant seeds, and those seeds come up. And their world is filled with kids whose parents thought their words didn't mean anything. It's filled with adults who are in pain because their spouse thought the words, it was just me expressing myself. No, every word, this ability that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is baloney off the charts. Because a stick or a stone can break a bone and be healed up in 6 weeks. But there are people sitting here right now, probably every one of us, that had people that we love, parents, grandparents, spouses, who said words to us that are still so alive in our consciousness that when we go there, we're choking back the tears as we share the embarrassment, the heartache, the hurt that was spoken. And so we end up thinking that, well, this is just me. I'm just being real now. I don't want you real if your real is to let all you vomit all this pain and heartache on me all the time. Who wants that? Oh, I want to marry you for sure. You know, marriage is kind of a big joke because we put on our best, and, baby. And, and then about a year or two when you find out, oh, Lord, help me. But if we could understand that you and Jesus, you and God's word can deal with this. Because if you don't, you will destroy the people in your world with the things that you say, the actions that you take, the intensity that you become bitter and rivalry and confusion, selfish ambition, contentious, envy. It's all self-centered. Me, it's what's in it for me? And you don't look at me, and it's me, and it's me. And you don't realize how much it destroys the relationships around you. And so as we go to God's word, we've got to understand that as you hear his word, get his word in your mind, as you begin to fellowship with Jesus, he turns you into this person. And this person is at peace. God's word has established your heart in grace rather than the pain of your past. God renews your mind with his word by the washing of water by the word so that your mind is fun to be with. You say, well, there's no one who's at fault because of where you're at. Yes, you may not have got yourself to where you are today, but put that aside because you're the only one that can take yourself from where you are today to where you want to be. Nobody else. And so take the words of Jesus. Take the Bible. Recognize that as long as you feel like I just have to express myself everywhere I go, that what you're doing is you're creating so much pain, so much confusion, so much disharmony. And how can your family be generational if bitterness, and by the way, bitterness just means you've hung on to something. You know, much of depression, okay, and leading psychologists and psychiatrists have told me this. Much of depression is unresolved anger. It's things that they haven't dealt with. And it just sits in there and you just bury it down. So it comes out with this. And there's lots of different reasons for depression. So we've talked about it before. But God's got an answer. And that is that if we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith, as you get out to church like you do and just say, it's going to be the start of my week to learn and hear God's word. You know, go to our website, go to the YouTube, go to our app and begin to hear these messages over and over and feed on them. And as you do, it'll renew your mind. It'll establish your heart. It does something to you. It makes a peace rise up on the inside of you. And then, because you're no longer giving Satan these words to use, because that word that you spoke that you can't even remember what you said because you were so emotional when you said it, they've never forgotten it. And the enemy just keeps feeding those words while they said, day after day, week after week, month after month. And he tries to bring in disharmony, rebellion, bitterness. And so as fast as we can, we must allow God's word to come inside and heal us. Renew our mind, make us a blessing so that the people in our world want to be with us. I wanted my kids to grow up. You know, there's some things that I really love. I'll give you a couple of them. Anytime my kids plan a party, they phone me and Sally first. And if we can't make it, they'll usually change it. And we're going, that's one of the biggest compliments on the planet. Do you know how many kids I talk to who are trying to escape their parents? Or don't want them around because they're fuddy-duddy, not cool? It's things like that, that as we learn, and by the way, I'm not perfect by a long shot, but as we learn to be a blessing, as we learn to have the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, where we're joyful, where we're kind, where we're patient, where we're long-suffering, where we all these beautiful traits, when we use these, this is where relationships flourish, businesses flourish, your mind flourishes, your mind becomes at peace. I refuse to give anybody the peace of God, not my the people who attack me, not the people who talk about me, not the people who come at me. You know, the more you begin to talk about the power of God, the more people rise up against you. You know, well, my time is up. I'm not going to go there. Okay. So today, all I want to leave you is this. In the spirit realm, there's a war going on. Satan's after your emotions. He's after your thinking. And the only way to stand up powerfully strong against him is to build the beliefs of God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and on. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it teaches you the beliefs that you must have in your heart. And when those beliefs begin to come in, and it happens fast, the shield goes up, and now, and it just bam, 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 hits the shield, drops. You just keep walking in peace and joy. But without the shield of faith, okay, which is the proper beliefs of God's word, they all hit you. And now you got to think through every emotion, every issue, every problem, and it leads to such sickness, depression, mood disorders, heartache, sickness, disease, relational issues, work issues, short lifespans. Take your pick. It just goes on. God knew what he was doing. Get into the Bible this week. Fall in love with God's word. Get a hold of some great teaching series at the back and just get into stuff. A lot of times I'll teach one up here, but there's a whole series on it back that get into it and flesh it out. Get it on the inside of you. Because you can say, well, Leon, you know, I don't know if this is really what I need. Well, you know, we got an entire practice out there, and we have got psychologists and psychiatrists who come to our churches. I love these born-again people. We talk together. They'll be the first to admit. We can analyze people and put names on every disorder out there, but we can't seem to help any of them very much. So do what they can, keep going for counseling, stay on your meds, but add this for now. Begin to renew your mind with the word of God. Find out the true beliefs about you and allow the presence of God to heal you and raise you up, and your brain will just grow strong on peace, on joy. You'll become a person that people will meet you and go, I don't know what's different about you, dude, but and you'll sense it everywhere, because it's so rare to find somebody who's at peace, to find somebody whose confidence is not body posture and facial expression. It's just a natural flow that only God can give. Father, I pray that this short message would touch everyone here, that we'd recognize we have an enemy, we have an adversary, and he's always trying to mess with our head, our thinking. Help us to stay in your word, to stay in a relationship with you, Jesus, so the life that we live can be beautiful and gorgeous, and that our kids and our grandkids grow up knowing what it is to win, to rise up and defeat every situation, to move through every chapter of life in victory. I pray that upon each person here. With every head bowed for just a moment, I want to close my message down in a powerful prayer, a prayer that only you can pray. It is where you give your life to Jesus, where he comes into your heart, forgives you, washes you clean, makes you a brand new person with a brand new start. I'm going to lead you. I did that one point in my life, and I've never been the same. And I thank God for the journey that people taught me how to renew my mind, how to walk in this peace of God. And I want you to have that. So if you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you say, Leon, include me in this prayer today. I'm giving my life to Christ. Would you just slip up a hand and just wave it at me right now, real quick, all over the auditorium. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I'm giving my life to Jesus right now. Where are you? All right. Those joining us right now at our other campuses, there's a pastor, a leader at the front. Just give a few seconds. I'm about to pray. Just raise your hand for them, and they'll see your hand and put it right back down. We're going to pray. and incredible things are going to take place in people's lives. Let's all pray with those who raise their hands. It goes like this. Just say, "Dear God, I give you my life. Forgive me. Come into my heart. From today and on, I'm following you, Jesus. Thank you for your strength in my life. In Jesus' name, amen." Hey, welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful that is.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.